Good evening, Patriots. So if you didn't catch it a little bit ago, the interview with Robert David Steele is now up, and it is available, and a really good one. It's a good interview because of the sense of just positive drive that he's got in so many things. And I think that in this period of time when it seems for some like there is no hope, which is unfortunate because there is so much hope. It really doesn't matter what happens in this place of man. But it's when we get attached to the physical things that we can become anchored and buried down into the things that try to drive us down. I'm hopeful, and I really am. I say this very optimistically, that people are feeling the change that is happening this week and early last week. It's a shift, and it's not openly evident. You're still hearing the same garbage in the news. But the things that should be awakening people is the openness and brashness and intensity in which the Luciferian order is trying to move on humankind. If it's Nike shoes with one drop of human blood in every pair, or if it's, I mean, just imagine that. Nike did that. That's what's, and they see that as okay and as normal. And think about the entire culture at Nike that accepted that shoe, the designer that was part of it, the manufacturing team that made it. Where I used to have my office in Portland, which was about 2.5 blocks from the train station, on the same floor where I had my office, down the hall was Nike's highly secret shoe prototype lab. It had like a couple bolted doors and a few things like that, but this is where a shoe like that would have originated. So the guys that are sitting in there came up with this idea. That's when you start to see this come out into the open, they're brazen. And there's only a couple things that drive that sort of attitude. One is an overconfidence. And the second is a need to rush, because they're feeling that they're losing control of the population. And it's a little bit of both. Perhaps 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Probably more true than anything. And so we're in this unique place right now where people are having to face the truth in their face, literally, and they either deny it or they start to make a deviation and step away from it. But the bottom line is, you can't serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And that right there is a juncture that everyone is at right now, is trying to just sort out how and who they're going to serve. If we're walking with God, that clarity is easy. When you have love of country and you have love of God, it is not a moment of doubt. It's a moment of clarity. And if anything, what we're witnessing is these incredible exposures. It should give everybody that's walking in that place with God and love of country, love of Constitution, a rock solid understanding of what has to be done. It's a resolve that comes out of that. It doesn't mean the problem is solved. It's just an unbelievable resolve. There are a lot of people that are going to be awakening in this process as they stumble into this trap of injecting themselves with a prototype gene-altering injection. And when they come to realize what they've done to themselves, there's no going back on that, at least not by the medical science we know. So they have to live with those consequences. There is only one thing that can ultimately save them. And perhaps that saving is true healing, or perhaps it is just spiritual knowledge of being saved. And that is to return to God and to humble themselves and seek salvation through Christ. It is literally that simple. Because no science is going to fix this disaster, this train wreck. And for people motivated to take a genetically altering experimental injection on the basis of a fear that is mobilized around a 1% mortality rate, that's quite literally a definition of near insanity. But too often that is even motivated by something worse, which is just the convenience of life. It's just people wanting to get back to normal. I'm just tired. I'll just do whatever I need to. That is not why God put us here. He did not put us here to just give in. He put us here to be resolved to live and to live with actions. And that's where we lead. I've said, one of my favorite quotes, which I've shared before, is by Mark Twain. In the beginning of change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Taking an injection is not being a patriot. It's easy to do. You just have people walking over there en masse because of the lure of the things that they're being promised if they take it. It's still, I say this, I think this last week I've said this at least every night, and it just is because it stuns me so much. We are given God-given rights in this world. It's natural law. You have the rights to assemble. You have the rights to live free. You have the right to choose your path in life. You have the right to voice your opinions on things. You have a right not to be infringed by others. It's a very simple set of laws. We know these laws. Treat your neighbor as you would expect to be treated. Love them as you would want to be loved. Help others in need. Give voice to the innocent that have no voice. Have no fear. And then you have the kind of details like, you know, do not commit adultery, which is, goes back to your neighbor. Like, would you want that done on you? That sort of thing. It's a pretty simple set of rules to live by. And when you live by those rules, you really don't need a litany of thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of laws. It's a very simple set of rules that work. And as we veer back to that, those that have been living under the matrix of detailing every step they take, being submissive to every detail of the law, listening to what dictators tell them to do because they need to obey to be correct. Dictators have assumed the role of God, and people have accepted them as God, and therefore there are two sins occurring in a single breath. It is idolatry at its worst, because there, you have a living idol that worship, that feeds on those worshiping them. And don't think these leaders don't feel that way. They mock the people and they feed off of the joy of seeing them, the mockery being worshipped, and they themselves being the recipient of worship, even though the worship is by fear or misdirection. It makes no difference. It's idolatry. You have churches that are telling their congregations, this is a scriptural thing to get an injection. It is not. There's nothing scriptural about this. There's nothing righteous about this. It's one thing if this injection was actually processed over years to produce something on the outside that was say, an approved injection or improved vaccine. And still, you would have a choice. You can make a choice on flu shots. But the obsession over this one thing that's an experimental is a panic-driven, desperation-driven choice that is completely blinded. And people are making that choice, and they're going to have to live with the consequences. That's the way things go. So as we pray and we extend a hand, we also have to respect the fact that they are making a choice. It is their walk, not ours. This is an interesting time. And it's one which is and will continue to challenge every one of us. And there's really no rushing a time like this. It's a process of humanity. And in saving humanity, God wants to bring as many of his children back as he possibly can, whatever that timing and pace is. God's plan is masterful in timing, whether we realize it or not. And it's a lot of our own feelings of this compression that we just have to stand fast. And as you stand fast and hold that line, this storm blows over. But we have to keep our resolve. Hopefully in this process, many begin to awaken to what they're really part of and to start to see the truth. But the layers of truth have only just begun. Robert David Steele brought up something tonight that I seldom touch on. I just let him hit on it. But it's something we're going to have to look at. What really happened in World War II? What really happened in the concentration camps? Now, it's not that people didn't die, but were the numbers as big as they were, or did something else happen? You listen to the interview, you listen to what he said. And I've heard these things for a long time. These are hard truths. And it's going to be emotional truths when people face them. We have the issues of our founding fathers and their ties to the Masonry order, or being Masons. We have the big question mark that sits before us in terms of how do we end up with a capital without so many Luciferian symbolisms around. We have the issue of 800,000 children that go missing every year. Where do they go? I'm not advocating this point, but I'm just going to tell you that when you start to get into those circles, you start to hear things like being traded off-world. What does that mean? Is that real? Because 800,000 children is a lot of children to be moving. The question is, where are they going? Right? There's plenty of rumors about a false moon landing. There's equally plenty of rumors about a moon base and a Mars base. Is that real? I don't know. And I'm not advocating either way. My point is, when you start to look at the magnitude of these potential truths, what's going on down in Antarctica? Is there such a thing as another species coexisting with us? In theory, if you listen to what Archbishop Vigano said in the interview he gave to me, which I posted back in the beginning of December, he specifically states the bloodline of the serpent versus the bloodline of the woman, or the offspring of the woman. Was that religious metaphor? Or is there something very real about it? What are we looking at? Is all of this, do we all look the same, or do we not look the same and we just simply can't see what the reality of someone else looks like because they're in a mask or they have something else going on? When you live in the world of compliance and obedience, you dare not question anything. When you live in the world with the awakened and you start to realize the potentiality of what we live in, which is a unlimited potentiality, then you start to realize that anything is really possible. And you have to prepare yourself for that moment. And there will be truths, I'm sure, that will come out in Scripture. And I'm going to say this, and I know this, and this is not a blasphemous comment. I'm going to put this out here. And so don't get your panties in a wad with what I'm about ready to say. I completely get that the Bible is blessed, but there are some things that always I struggle with even when I read the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what one of those is. It's when there's this blood sacrifice always happening to God, for God. Okay, I struggle with this because God's not a vicious God. All right. So the reason I ask this question is not whether God did it or not. Maybe God did. But I also know that there was something called the Catholic Church with its Vatican and the Pope that was assigned to be the Lord of the world that oversaw ultimately the assembly of the Old Testament. So I'm asking simple questions. What's in the catacombs of the Vatican? It's a big question because we know there are documents down there that no one can see. And we know the Jesuits had their hand very deeply in the creation of the Bible. So I only cast them because when I stumble on blood sacrifices, it's not consistent with the teachings of Christ. Old Testament and New Testament have a distinct difference. And one of the big ones is references to blood sacrifice. There are a lot of things that have to be answered in this time. And it's extremely important that we ask the questions because God intends us to. When you read the Scripture, especially in Old Testament, people ask questions. And God gives answers because there's a relationship they have that's different than we have now. It's like now we're afraid. It's like, well, if I say that, someone's going to say that I'm against the Bible. That's why I just said what I said. If you are not able to ask questions and use reason and ask questions, then we've failed in the entire principle of what God gave us. God did not give us an obedient rule. That was what Lucifer wanted. Lucifer wanted us to be obedient to him and ask no questions. God wanted us to have a mind, to use it, to explore, to use discernment, but to ask in the process to learn. And in the process, we learned how to use our free will, and hopefully, as God had hoped, we would return to him. There was never religion with God or Christ, ever. But now we have religion, which gets in the way of everything. Religion is not God. Religion is not the Bible. Religion is a temple in which men interpret and create followings which have nothing to do with God. Religion is a place to collect money, to turn it into a corporate empire, to control people. No religion, as happened in the Middle Ages, would put people on a rack or put people in cages, to stuck them with spikes. I mean, if you've seen these tortures that were going on all in the name of God, it's lunacy. I've actually gone to one of the torture museums. It was in Prague. It's about enough to make your stomach sick to see the devices that people created. God does not provoke wars in his name. You know, when you read the when you read the Battle of Jericho, it's an interesting battle. I brought it up before because there is a place where there's a transition from one type of fight to another. And I've used it before, but it's amazing how God uses hymn and psalm as the principle of that fight. Joshua leads his army, and that's how they lead that fight. And I brought this up before as well, which is if the walls fall and everyone within the walls is slain, were they God's children? And if God was slaying his children, what does that say? I don't buy that. It's bloodlines again. See, there's a complication in all things, and nothing is black and white, and the Bible is not written to be black and white. It's a masterful composition that within it, no matter what touch man has given, no matter what twist man has tried to put on it, God in the end always finds a way of speaking to you through the scripture. That's the mastery of the Bible. And so no matter what was done to extract or include things, whether they were righteous or not, or blessed, God still finds a way through that text, and that text has prevailed over time. It is still an unbelievably rich text in learning about who we are and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. But in this time of awakening, it is also time that we need to be seeking and asking questions. There is nothing wrong with asking questions. Because if we're asking questions and we're seeking answers through prayer and we're honest about it with our true heart, not a heart of, I'm going to prove this. Then we will hear. And God will guide us. And God will guide us to where we need to be. But there's many deep questions in Scripture that we have to be looking at, and it's part of exploring who we are in our relationship with God. And when we ponder on those and we let the Holy Spirit speak to us, our eyes open. Doesn't mean we're right about our question. Doesn't mean that what we see is correct. Many times it's something is there, and what's amazing is God opens our eyes to something deeper. Consider what I said last night, and it was really pretty profound for me to say it because it was something I just saw, and I just can only say that as a result, I would assume that it was part of something that God wanted me to see. And it was this, that we've been looking at this problem wrong the entire time. We have been trying to keep ourselves from the world from going into darkness when in fact we need to go to darkness as a world so we as light can be seen by others who are in darkness. This is one of those moments where as we start to drive into something and we get fixated on one outcome. Take a look at the church that Paul set up. They weren't religions. They were churches. There's a big difference. Now we associate the church with a religion. Faith is through God. Faith is through our relationship with Christ that gives us, as we walk into the whole body of Christ and we live there, we have a relationship back to God because we're restored back to our perfection. But in that place, we are not a religion. Under the name of religions, the most atrocities have ever been incredible atrocities have been committed in the name of religion. And so our relationship has to be pure. And through that purity, Christ was able to stand and confront Lucifer and not be swayed. Because the heart was pure. It wasn't a religion. It was a relationship purely with Father. The church has a very important role. But the role isn't a money collecting role. The role isn't a place to come and idolize those that run the church. The role is a process of bringing people together and, most importantly, in ensuring that the communities are taken care of through outreach. And I mean far more than just spiritual outreach. It is a process of taking care. Through giving, gifting, helping thy neighbor, ensuring those in need get taken care of, and giving voice to those that have no voice. 800,000 children go missing every year. Where's the voice of the church? 800,000 children go missing every year. Where is the voice of the church? Uncounted babies are aborted every year. Where's the action of the church? Thousands of homeless exist on our streets. Where is the church? That's the role our churches need to be in. And it's the place, not that we shouldn't be doing it, but it's a role that the churches were intended to be. And so as we go through this process of awakening, we have to look very deeply at many of the structures that are around us, not take things for granted. When we follow God's law and we frame the world on God's law, it's the simple rules, then what we're able to do is to see life very clearly and ask some very hard questions. And it's there that we begin to build a deeper and more truthful relationship with God and live a world of greater harmony and joy and ultimately greater sovereignty and freedom, because our world becomes reconstructed not on taking, not on hoarding, not on possessing, but instead on giving, which is the fundamental keystone to everything that God intended. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have come together as we do each day to reflect very deeply on your word and our relationship with you and our relationship with our King Christ Jesus. Lord, you've given us a mind to think, an ability to question and to discern, to rely on you for a holy truth, but to question, to seek truth, and by questioning to listen to you and to learn more deeply about our world and to find our place in a relationship more deeply related to you. We are humbled in this time. We are humbled with those gifts. We are humbled for all that has been sacrificed for us. We pray for discernment and clarity as we enter this world in times of great reveals, things that we know that will be exposed, that will force us to question many of the things, not to be blinded by pure obedience to anything other than the truth that you put before us. Let us walk by and live by your laws, and let us commit wholly to living through the body of Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. when you have churches in this day and age telling people to become injected with a genetically altering substance, you have to question immediately what the nature of that faith is. Because that's not a holy faith. That's an agenda. And if one speaks for the church and does that, and others follow, the church and its institution, as far as it reaches, is corrupt. And if we accept or try to deny those words or turn our back on those words, we're actually violating God's intent of how we walk in this world. So let me close with Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Always press into the fight. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Keep yourself in a close relationship through prayer with God. It's a constant and perpetual thing. Listen closely. Discern. God is there to guide us. We just have to hear him and learn how to rehear him, because so long we've been away. He'll never forsake us. He has never forsaken us. We've forsaken him. Now is the time to turn to God and to trust in God, to be wary of the things that are being said. I don't care who's saying them. I don't care what promises are being made. We're seeing right now an interesting period in time of the fall of leaders and the rise of a relationship with God. It's a powerful, powerful time. And it's an important time that we listen closely. In the end, we all know God wins. I truly believe if our relationship is true with him and we are able to press into this in a way never before imagined, to walk into this path, an opportunity that's been provided for us, that this is an opportunity in this time for us to literally transform a world and be with God at that line of victory when the world awakens finally and returns to him humbly on their knees. We'll be there as well, on our knees as well. That's a pretty amazing moment to live, and it's one I would not exchange for any other time in history. I'll see you in the morning at 5 a.m. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something, pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now. I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.